You'll feel better when you get there. So, but no, I did enjoy good health for 49 years of my life, 6 months after my 49th birthday. However, I guess I became the poster child of health problems. I had a stroke, as Pastor mentioned. One of the things the doctor noted on my chart after I had the stroke was he'd never seen anyone survive such a bad stroke before. And before they had to cut the skull off my head to let my brain swell due to the stroke, they asked my wife if I would want to survive if I knew I'd never stand and never walk, would have to live in a nursing home, wearing diapers, drooling uncontrollably for the rest of my life, would I want to survive? She said yes, and as I like to say, God had other plans, because here I am, standing up. I jokingly told Pastor when he said he'd call me up when it was time to preach, I said, I'll run up onto the platform. I used to run. Some of you may remember back in the day when we used to do Saturation Saturday. I often used to be the bus driver for Saturation Saturdays as the assistant pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church many years ago. But when I had a chance, I would get off the bus and run up and down a few steps. But no, I don't run anymore, at least not what is considered to be running by most. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. I don't want to be long tonight, but I did think we got an extra hour of sleep last night, so I'll take, Pastor didn't use that hour this morning, so I intend to use it tonight. No, I don't, honestly. I don't know, a couple of years ago I was with Pastor Daniluk. I was actually preaching down in Welland at Beacon Baptist Church in Welland at a conference, and on the way home, I said to Brother Daniluk, I said, I really got to start, cutting down the length of my messages. I always used to preach, 30 to 45 minutes tops when I was before my stroke. And he said, what do you think is going to help you do that? I said, less notes, because I do rely more heavily on my notes than I used to do before my brain injury. But John chapter 11 is a passage of scripture that God brought to my mind and in my heart after my stroke. And so when Pastor asked me to preach a message on dealing with health problems, this is where the Lord brought me to as I prayed about that. John 11, a familiar story, the story of Lazarus. John 11, verse 1 says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. By the way, don't you get in the ideas of sleeping tonight, just because Lazarus was said to be sleeping. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Don't you just love the enthusiasm of Thomas? Let's go, so we can die too. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw that Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? When Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus saith, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou shouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you give me strength, give me power of the Spirit, not just to physically to stand and minister your word, but Lord, to use your word in such a way that the Holy Spirit can take and apply it to our lives, Lord, to give us what we need from this message tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us the grace and comfort and strength that we need to face all the issues of life. In Jesus' name, amen. The pastor asked me to bring this message about real-life issues. I trust that the principles I share tonight will be a help and a blessing to you, as they have been to me. I prayerfully chose this text, as I mentioned, because verse 37 is a verse that when I was laying in the hospital sometime after my stroke, not terribly long, but I was in Freeport Hospital and the rehab hospital there. And I don't know why, I'd never really given this verse much specific thought before, but verse 37, God brought it to my mind, and it was a great comfort to me. It says, and some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And as God brought that verse to me, he was saying to me, I could have spared you from this, but I have a purpose. And that gave me great comfort. And I trust that this message will be a comfort to your hearts this evening. Health problems are a result of sin, not necessarily the sick person's sin. We understand that from John chapter 9, where Jesus healed the blind man, and the disciples said, Lord, which man did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents, but the glory of God should be made known. So we don't know the particular sin, not necessarily a particular sin, but what I'm saying is that health problems came as a result of the curse that came because of sin. In other words, it was not God's original design for people to be ill and sick, because it wasn't God's original design for people to die. Health problems, large and small, are largely indiscriminate. Now, I know we can look at situations like Job and realize that the devil has sometimes a direct involvement, and we look at other passages of Scripture and see that God sometimes does use sickness as a chastening hand, but largely, we would say, health problems are basically indiscriminate. What do you mean by that? Well, they come to young and old, rich and poor, male and female, godly and ungodly. None are exempt from health problems. Good health is probably one of the greatest overlooked blessings that we often take for granted. I mentioned to Brother Marr just the other day as he was recovering from a sore throat. I said, how are you feeling? He said, oh, much better. I said, isn't it amazing how it takes having something to make you appreciate not having it anymore? And, you know, there's a lot of things that I appreciated about my health before my stroke that I haven't gotten back yet and may never get back. Half of my body doesn't work like the other half. And they say that people with brain injury, it takes 5 times more effort to do things that they can do than people who don't have a brain injury. I don't know how they figure that out or whatever exactly 5 times. I can tell you it takes a lot more effort than it used to do before. Every time I step up onto this platform, I think, man, how come I have to hang onto that pulpit for dear life just to get up onto the platform? And sometimes I see Pastor and Robert and others when they're coming to sing, just, you know, walk sideways, kind of half sideways up the step. And I think, yeah, I think I used to be able to do that too. But life changes, and we'll get to that a little bit more in the message. But we certainly appreciate good health, but we don't appreciate it like we should appreciate it until we don't have it. And I can very realistically tell you that that is very much true, but we ought to be very thankful for the health that we have when we have good health. Nobody likes being ill. Whether serious ailment or minor ailment, it's not easy or enjoyable, but thankfully, we can face illness with hope and help from the Word of God, and that's what I hope to bring you this evening. As with several of the messages that Pastor has preached on real-life issues so far, I'm sure that these principles we'll look at tonight will also be applicable in other areas and troubles, trials and troubles of life as well. So how should we deal with our health problems when they arise? Well, according to what we just read in John chapter 11, I would like to say to you, point number one, resort to God in prayer. Resort to God in prayer. Notice at the beginning of the chapter, as we read it, as soon as Lazarus was sick, what happened? Mary and Martha said, let's call Jesus. He can do something about this. Many people seek God's help as a last resort. Sometimes people will say, well, I've been sick and the doctors can't do anything, so I guess I should pray. No, pray first. Pray right away. Seek God's help and healing. That's not to say that we shouldn't seek medical attention, but that we should do so prayerfully in conjunction with seeking medical assistance. When I was having my stroke, I honestly did not realize I was having a stroke. I didn't realize there was anything wrong with me. I've told the story before. My wife was on the phone with 911, and I said, I don't know why you're calling the 911. I'm fine. I had no idea. My speech was slurred, and my left side was redundant and all kinds of things that she had been able to sense. I can't tell you that I prayed at that moment because I didn't realize there was anything wrong with me until they took me out of the bedroom on a stretcher and put me in the ambulance and took me off to the hospital. But we ought to seek God's help when we have medical problems. We ought to seek God in prayer. Resort to God in prayer. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. It goes on to say in verses 14 and 15 about asking for prayer of others, and deals with sickness and anointing with oil and so on. But I think the primary thing we ought to do and learn to do as Christians in any situation, any trial, and health problems being one of them, is resort to God in prayer like Martha and Mary did. Number two, I believe a very significant and important thing is recall God's passion. Recall God's passion. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, remember that God loves you. You know, if you look at what we read of the chapter there in verses 3 to 5, it says very specifically that Mary and Martha said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. It says it several times in the chapter that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Recall God's passion. Remember that God loves you. Mary and Martha were aware of Jesus' love for them. That's why they resorted to him in prayer. When dealing with health problems, we may be tempted to question God's love. That's what the enemy will want you to do. If God loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. But Romans 8:35-39 reminds us that nothing can separate Christians from God's love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. In Lamentations 3:21-23, it says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Jeremiah said, I recall this to mind. I remember when I'm looking at what's going on with my people, I remember God loves us. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Recall God's passion. And then thirdly, recognize God's power. Recognize God's power. I said verse 37 is the verse that God brought to mind when I was in the hospital. It's important for us to realize even the crowd said, hey, Jesus healed all kinds of people. Couldn't he have done something to help Lazarus, the man he loved? The brother of the sisters that he loved, couldn't Jesus have done something? They recognized Jesus' power. When health challenges come, we need to remember it's not because God was helpless to stop it. It's not because Jesus can't heal, and they couldn't stop what happened to you from happening. It's not because the Lord couldn't stop my stroke, that I had a stroke. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he healed all manner of sickness and disease, the Bible tells us very clearly, and he is no less capable or powerful now than he was then. So recognize God's power. You're not in a helpless situation with nobody able to help you. God is able to do something about the situation. But we need to, number four, rest in God's purpose. Rest in God's purpose. God not only knows your condition, he also has a purpose in it. And his purposes go far beyond our physical well-being, though he may use our physical well-being to accomplish his higher purpose in our life and the lives of others. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 tell us that God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours, as the heaven is higher than the earth. We don't understand God's ways. He is infinite and we are finite. But God has purpose in everything that he does and everything that he allows. Remember Jeremiah 18, verses 4-6, he is the potter, and we are the clay. And he is molding us into a vessel to his honor, for his purpose. He is the potter, and we are the clay. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There are many purposes, I suppose, we could consider, but for sake of time, just consider with me for a moment. According to our text here this evening, I believe that his purpose is his glory. Verse 4 says that this sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. How does Jesus accomplish his glory in our life? I believe it's accomplished by our spiritual growth, our transformation, and our Christ-likeness. Verse 15 that we read is an interesting verse, just before the verse I pointed out where Thomas said, let's go that we may die with him. Verse 15, Jesus says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Look at the rest of this verse. To the intent ye may believe. To the intent ye may believe. So Jesus said to the disciples, there's something, your faith will grow because of what's happened to Lazarus. Your faith will grow. So his glory is accomplished in our spiritual growth, and that was what would happen for the disciples. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's our destiny, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And he may need to use, and he does use, the trials and tribulations of life, including health problems, to bring us to that place of conformity to the image of Christ. And he's glorified in that transformation. He's also glorified in the salvation of the lost. In John 15:8, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Read in Luke 15, the the several parables and talks about joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So we know God is glorified by people being saved. It's evident from chapter 12 of John that many of the crowd on what we call Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, came as a result of Lazarus' resurrection. So people were brought to Christ to believe in him because of what happened to Lazarus. So his glory is accomplished in the salvation of the lost. What if God uses your health problem to reach people with the gospel? What if God saves some people who maybe wouldn't have heard or maybe wouldn't have listened to the gospel without seeing what you go through? What if he brings somebody to Christ through that? I preached it before. I mentioned it not long after my stroke. I preached, I think, in early 2019 at a missions conference when I filled in for a missionary that couldn't be here. I mentioned, you know, if I for 20 years of my life have to stagger and struggle up the steps and hang on to the pulpit, if I don't get to enjoy driving like I used to drive, it's different things that, yes, I miss, yes, I wish I could do still. If for 20 years of my life I lived to be an average, God says 80, I was 49 when I had the stroke. If I lived to be 70, just as a round number, because that's what God says that, you know, man's days shall be, not that we're guaranteed that, but if I had to spend 20 years of my life struggling around and not being able to enjoy some of the things I used to do, but I knew that somebody, maybe more than one person, got saved for all of eternity, was spared from hell because I was able to reach them in a way that I couldn't have done without, then, you know what, it's worth it. I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that easily in the sense that when I'm having a bad day, that's not the first thought that comes to my mind. But when we realistically look at things, we have to look at things with eternity in view and have to realize that God's purposes are greater than our purposes. And so we need to recognize God's purpose. He's glorified in people coming to Christ. We also need to, number five, realize your place. Realize your place. In verses 21 to 26, we won't read them again, but when Martha comes to Jesus and said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know whatever God says, whatever you say, God will listen and do. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. What did Jesus say? What did Martha say? I know he will rise again at the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said, we're not there yet, Martha, but I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We need to realize our place. My friends, we're living in a sin-cursed world with trials, tribulation, and sickness. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We are not in heaven yet, my friends. And although we all want to be healed, we must recognize that to experience heaven, unless Jesus comes first, as the trumpet sounds, our blessed hope, and the glorious coming of Christ to meet him in the air, we must pass from this life to heaven via death. Whatever we are dealing with now is temporary, even if it is long-term. And again, I don't say that lightly. I don't say that to minimize whatever situation you may be dealing with or may be yet to deal with, but to encourage you. One day, all believers will live eternally in a place with no sickness and no pain, but we aren't there yet. We aren't there yet. That's why this whole name it, claim it, Christianity that says, you know, if you're sick, you're in sin, and if God will heal everyone. No, God doesn't heal everyone, because then nobody would die. And then we wouldn't get to be in heaven where there is no presence of sin and no presence of death. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are past way. We need to realize our place. We are on this earth. We are on this earth where sickness runs rampant, where anyone can experience these issues that happen in our world that's tainted by the curse of sin. We're not in heaven yet. So we need to realize our place. And we need to rely on God's provision. We need to rely on God's provision. I guess we'd say maybe that this is where the rubber hits the road. Verse 22, again, Martha said, I know that even now whatsoever ye you ask, thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Martha recognized Jesus' ability to provide as he saw fit. Whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it to you. In other words, Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died, but hey, whatever your plan is, Jesus, I know that it's good, it's perfect, and it will happen. Your plan is best. In our lives, as we deal with health problems, our prayers for healing aren't always answered as we might like, but like Martha, we need to rely on God's provision as he sees fit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that he is the God of all comfort. By the way, I stand before you this evening preaching this message not as one who has all these things down pat and everything is just great in my life and I have no problems dealing with the things I'm dealing with. I'm not standing here that. I'm standing in fulfillment of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where God says that whatever tribulation you face, you'll be comforted so that you can take that comfort and offer it to somebody else who's in the same kind of trouble. And the same kind of comfort. I'm here as a sinner saved by grace going through trials, trying to be a help to you with things that have been a help to me, just as God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was not delivered from his thorn in the flesh, but he found great comfort in the sufficiency of God's grace in verses 9 and 10. So health problems and or their effects may linger, but God's grace is always available. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may find mercy, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My friends, I tell you today that grace to help in time of need for me is every single day. I need God's grace every single day. And we all do, but I need it. I know I need it to handle the disabilities that have come with my having a stroke. And I'm glad for God's grace. Grace is not just for salvation. It's a wonderful blessing, daily blessing for the believer also. And supernatural strength is also promised to those who wait on God. Isaiah 40:31, I preached from that before. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So what we conclude the message then tonight, life in the sin-curled, cursed world is often accompanied by health problems which come on any and all of us. So how should we face them? Resort to God in prayer. He hears your call and bids you to call on him. Recall God's passion. Remember, he loves you, and nothing can separate you from his love. Remember God's power. Your condition is not beyond his ability, and you're not in that situation because he couldn't do anything about it. Rest in his purpose. He is our all-wise creator and our potter. Realize your place. This life is temporary and we aren't in heaven yet. Rely on his provision. Daily seek his provision of grace and strength. These principles require faith, but can surely give us needed hope and comfort as we navigate the health problems of life. So may God's truth help us through the darker days of our pilgrimage as we deal with real issues of life. Pastor?